For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in today for Bob Levicky. Congress accuses Representative Garrett of ethics violations. Harrisonburg keeps its mayor. The General Assembly debates teacher salaries. And an Afton woman raises awareness by riding horseback along a controversial pipeline. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, January 3rd, 2019.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The U.S. House of Representatives Ethics Committee says former Republican Virginia Congressman Thomas Garrett misused staffers for tasks such as dog-sitting and buying him cigarettes. According to the Daily Progress, the committee released its report yesterday. Garrett's term in office ends today. The report says Garrett apparently did not understand or appreciate that staffers are restricted from helping him with tasks that don't support his official duties. Politico first detailed the allegations in May that Garrett and his wife misused staff. Garrett soon announced he would not seek re-election because of his struggle with alcoholism. Then in June, the committee launched an expedited investigation, which it says was delayed by staffers and the Garrett's refusal to cooperate. Garrett says the report is based on, quote, half-truths and whole lies. Virginia's Housing Commission has recommended several bills aimed at addressing the state's eviction crisis, among them an eviction diversion pilot program. From partner station WCVE, here's Megan Pauley.
Right now in Virginia, tenants who fall behind on rental payments and hope to settle an eviction case after their first court date are out of luck. Martin Wegbright with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Society says all outstanding payments have to be paid in full on or before that date.
All of the rent that's due, the new month's rent that has now become due, the late fees, the court costs.
Wegbright and others on Virginia's Housing Commission want to change that by giving renters a few more months to come up with the money and reach a deal with their landlord. To do that, they've proposed what's called an eviction diversion program, and they've suggested pilots for Richmond, Petersburg, Hampton, and Danville. Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
Harrisonburg City Council has selected the city's new mayor, and she's a familiar name, as WMRA's Bridget Manley reports.
In council chambers Wednesday morning, members re-elected Dina Reed as mayor for another two-year term. Councilman George Hirschman was the only vote not in favor for Reed. Reed, who has served as the city's mayor for the past 2 years, says she's happy to have the platform to serve the community.
Well, of course, I'm very humbled. It's always been very special to me to be mayor of my hometown. And so I was excited that my council members felt like that I could continue in the role, in the position.
During the reorganization meeting, the two winners in the November elections, Sal Romero and Chris Jones, were sworn in for two-year terms. Romero was also unanimously elected vice mayor. He said he wants to speed up the construction of the new high school.
As a council member, I will have the ability to move forward some legislation. And obviously, the second high school is a very important issue that I spoke consistently throughout my campaign. And so I definitely want to begin those conversations right away.
While the new school is one of both the mayor's and the vice mayor's priorities, both say homelessness in Harrisonburg is another top priority. For WMRA News, I'm Bridget Manley.
How much money should Virginia teachers be paid? That question will be debated in Richmond next week when the General Assembly convenes, as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Teacher salaries in Virginia trail the national average by about 14%, and they're lower than many nearby states like Pennsylvania, Maryland, Georgia, Kentucky. Chris Duncombe at the Commonwealth Institute says that's created a teacher shortage in Virginia.
This has been a persistent issue and is a reason why we have so many unfilled teacher positions throughout the state. The latest survey from the Department of Education has more than 1,000 unfilled positions.
Jim Livingston at the Virginia Education Association says public schools never really recovered from the recession, and that's created pressure at the local level to pick up the slack.
Localities have been forced by the General Assembly to either invest more local money into K-12 education or to simply cut services.
When lawmakers arrive in Richmond next week, they'll be considering a proposal to increase teacher salaries 5%. Educators are hoping that might help address the teacher shortage, although lawmakers will have to weigh that proposal against other needs and balance the books before leaving town in March. I'm Michael Pope.
Legislation co-authored by Senator Tim Kaine was signed into law yesterday that, for the first time, creates a public health infrastructure to combat Alzheimer's disease and promote brain health. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburn reports.
This landmark legislation authorizes $100 million over 5 years to develop a public health approach that will improve prevention, treatment, and care for Alzheimer's.
Passage of the BOLD Act is critically important to Virginians.
CEO Marie Colendo of the Greater Richmond Alzheimer's Association says the money will establish centers of excellence and should help to fund state legislation passed last year,
which includes promotion and education about Alzheimer's disease within the Commonwealth.
She says it is important for people to know and to act on the symptoms early and to develop lifestyles to help prevent it altogether.
Taking care of your heart is taking care of your head. We should all do that, especially as we get into 2019 with our New Year's resolutions.
Charles Fishburn, WMRA News.
And finally today, Sarah Murphy and her horse recently completed riding the first 400 miles of the 600-mile Atlantic Coast Pipeline route. The purpose was to bring awareness and attention to the intensely controversial project. The pipeline would eventually carry fracked natural gas from West Virginia through Virginia, including Augusta and Nelson counties. WMRA's Jesse Nadler caught up with Murphy 2 days before the duo finally made it back home to their farm in Afton.
It's a brisk December morning in Swope, and Sarah Murphy is tacking up her 24-year-old Percheron Thoroughbred cross named Rob Roy for a 12-mile trek to Stewart's Draft. The day before, they'd walked more than 10 miles to Swope, crashing for the night at the home of pipeline protesters.
You're almost there, buddy.
Almost there. But, you know, I've been telling them that, like, every day.
Yeah,
so.
For weeks.
Not quite weeks. I think I started, you know, a few days ago being like, all right, we're really, really almost there.
Murphy, 35, and Rob Roy have been riding this first leg of the 600-mile Atlantic Coast Pipeline route since September 26th. Murphy travels light, armed primarily with an iPhone, camping supplies, horse food, and a machete for clearing brush out of the way. They've ridden all the way to Weston, West Virginia, through rain, sleet, and mud, narrowly dodging logging trucks on mountain highways. They've passed watchful pipeline workers and relied on the kindness of strangers to take them in.
People pass me off from one person to the next. It's kind of like an underground railroad.
And now, 2 days before their journey is scheduled to end back in Afton, they're both dead tired. Rob Roy looks underweight. Murphy doesn't even bother to ride him anymore. She instead walks ahead of him with a lead line. The day before, he laid down on the side of the road and refused to budge. Why is Murphy doing this?
I have friends that are going to eminent domain. You know, I grew up in Augusta County, and there's a huge portion that's coming through there. And, you know, I grew up running around in the fields and playing on the land and riding horses. And it's coming close to our farm in Afton. And we are in the process of trying to put together a vintage camper campground on the 5 acres to kind of capitalize on the agritourism that's happening there. And, you know, you think about if something happens to all these breweries and wineries with the water source, that's a lot of businesses. I wanted to see also what it's about. You know, we've not had it here in this area.
For Murphy, the pipeline is personal. Still, she approaches the journey with an open mind.
I mean, it got to the point where people would just come to me on the side of the road and pull over and tell me kind of their experiences and what was happening to them. And, you know, you look at this issue and it's so polarizing and it feels so black and white. But within that, there's so much complexity and so many different facets and layers to what's happening. And I haven't changed probably at the heart of it how I feel, but, you know, I am looking at kind of a wider range of it and the, you know, repercussions of outcomes.
Like the woman she stayed with in West Virginia, her husband is a crane contractor hoping to work on the Atlantic Coast Pipeline in state so he can stay home with his wife and kids instead of having to travel out of state for work. The trek has made Murphy think more deeply about a lot of things. Hiking alone with a horse for months will do that.
That idea that people have it all figured out, or that I do know exactly what I'm doing. I don't. I mean, every day I have to kind of figure out well, what's, you know, what's our goal today? What is our motivation today? And I mean, I don't know what the day is going to bring me. I know we're going to walk a lot.
The experience has deepened her already close relationship with Rob Roy. This is their second environmental trek together. The first was a 10-day ride from Bridgewater to Whitesburg, Kentucky, to witness the devastation of mountaintop removal.
You know, we drive each other crazy. Sometimes it's like an old married couple where we just get sick of each other. And
Murphy says she's learned a lot from Rob Roy.
You know, I'm so focused on where we're trying to get to for the day. And you know, he'll just stop and I'll turn around and there'll be like a beautiful vista, mountain beyond mountain, or, you know, just something that needed to be seen that will stick with me forever. So he's good at calling out those moments.
And now it's time to resume their journey. Rob Roy is all tacked up for the 12-mile trek to Stewart's Draft. They're slated to spend that night with another pipeline protester. Rob Roy stops on the hardtop, refusing to move. Murphy has to gently coax him forward.
Good boy.
It's going to be a long day, but Rob Roy does eventually make it back to Afton 2 days later. He ended up laying down in the road once, but now he's home, resting up and gaining back his weight. They'll resume the second leg of their trek to North Carolina, where the pipeline ends come spring, if Rob Roy is fit enough to handle it. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
And I'm Christopher Correa. Bob Levicky returns tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.